Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Dolce Vita Divas is a contemporary feel-good novel by Maddie Pleese, written for readers who enjoy humorous, uplifting fiction centered on women in later life. The story follows Joanna Dawson, who is 64 and facing a period of personal uncertainty after her husband leaves and her children have moved on. When her best friend Susie invites her on a trip to Italy to honor a late friend, the novel opens into themes of friendship, second chances, romance, and the possibility of reinvention after 60, emotional reflection, and Mediterranean setting. It also reflects the author's broader focus on older women as active, funny, and emotionally complex characters whose lives are still changing in meaningful ways. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, later life reinvention after divorce, emptiness, and change. The novel's treatment of reinvention is also important because it is age-specific. Many novels about change focus on younger protagonists, while this one insists that desire, curiosity, and growth do not expire at 60. Joanna's age shapes the stakes, but it does not limit them. Her story suggests that emotional renewal may arrive later than expected and can still be substantial. The book avoids turning this into a simplistic transformation plot. Instead, it links renewal to small but meaningful choices, including accepting the Italy trip, revisiting the past, and allowing herself to imagine a different future. That makes the story feel grounded in lived experience rather than fantasy. The result is a nuanced portrayal of later life self-redefinition, not a total reinvention of personality, but a recovery of openness after disappointment. Secondly, female friendship as the novel's emotional engine. The wider circle of female characters also reinforces this theme. Reviews and descriptions repeatedly mention lively supporting women such as Cece, Lucia, and Sylvia, who add energy, humor, and sociability to the Italian setting. Their interactions underline the book's interest in women creating connection outside conventional family roles. This is important because it broadens the meaning of companionship beyond one primary friendship. The novel shows that older women can sustain vibrant social lives, build new relationships, and find emotional support in unexpected places. The friendships are not idealized in a shallow way. They are lively, sometimes messy, and often funny. That combination gives the book texture. It also helps explain why the novel is described as comforting. It suggests that being understood by other women can be restorative, especially after romantic disappointment or personal upheaval. Thirdly, Italy as a setting for escape, renewal, and atmosphere. At the same time, the book does not use Italy only as a postcard image. The location supports the social dynamics of the story by gathering the women into a shared experience that has both practical and emotional significance. The trip is linked to honoring a late friend, which gives the journey purpose beyond tourism. This combination of mourning and pleasure matters because it prevents the setting from becoming trivial. Italy becomes a place where memory and joy can coexist. That helps the novel stand apart from stories that use travel merely as a glamorous setting. Here, the setting has emotional work to do it, helps the characters reframe the past, enjoy the present, and imagine the future. In a feel-good novel, that balance of atmosphere and meaning is central to how the story earns its warmth. Fourthly, humor and warmth as a way of handling difficult life transitions. The warmth of the book also comes from its refusal to caricature older women as either tragic or irrelevant. The humor is rooted in personality and social observation rather than mockery. That distinction gives the novel a respectful tone and helps explain its appeal to readers looking for fiction that feels restorative. The comic moments make the emotional themes easier to absorb, but they also reveal character wit, self-awareness, defensiveness, and resilience all come through in the banter. This balance is one reason the book is frequently described as cheerful and uplifting. It understands that laughter can function as a coping mechanism, a form of intimacy, and a way of maintaining dignity when life becomes uncertain. In that sense, the humor is not a superficial accessory. It is part of the novel's method for exploring how people continue after disappointment. The story suggests that relationships in later life are not only possible, but can be grounded in clearer self-knowledge. That gives the novel a practical emotional argument. Older adults are still capable of desire, attachment, and meaningful commitment, but they may approach love with more perspective than before. The book is careful to make this feel hopeful rather than simplistic. It does not promise that every sorrow disappears, only that new intimacy can emerge alongside memory and loss. That realism is one reason the romantic material works within a feel-good framework. It adds emotional depth to the comedy and travel elements, and it reinforces the book's larger message that life remains open to change even when the past has already left a strong imprint. In conclusion, The Dolce Vita Diva will most strongly appeal to readers who enjoy uplifting contemporary fiction, especially stories about women over 60, female friendship, and romance after disappointment. It is a good fit for readers who want a novel with emotional comfort but also enough realism to feel grounded in everyday experience. The book's practical value is not instructional in a literal sense, but it offers a meaningful perspective on aging, loneliness, and renewal by treating later life as dynamic rather than fixed. That makes it especially relevant for readers looking for fiction that reflects older women as vivid, social, and still open to change. What helps it stand out within the feel-good genre is the combination of humorous writing, warm character dynamics, and a travel setting it supports rather than replaces. The emotional story. It does not rely on crisis alone, and it does not reduce its characters to age-based stereotypes. Instead, it blends wit, companionship, and second-chance romance into a story that feels restorative without becoming shallow. For readers seeking a thoughtful comfort read, that balance is a major strength. If you would like to support Maddie Please, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.